On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. There's been some recent announcements of movement relative to the Lindy Boggs Medical Center after nearly two decades of sitting vacant, and it looks like the demolition is soon to begin. Michelle Schlafly, Secretary of the Mid-City Neighborhood Association Board, joins us to discuss saying, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. How are you?
Doing well. I got to imagine there is a sigh of relief. I don't know. You know, I drive by there periodically. I got to tell you that building on that property is one of the most butt ugly I've seen in the entire city. And I'd be glad for it to be gone. Your thoughts?
Of course. Our neighborhood has been fighting for a very long time to get movement on the property. And I think Woodward, the current owner, has owned it, I think, in partnership at one time since 2017. So nearly 10 years since this current owner has had the building. And while, you know, additional historic tax credits and funding had sort of dried up over the years, you know, at some point, someone had to address this problem. And we, while public dollars are being used as part of the creative project that they have done now with this idea of creating a infrastructure retention tank in the lower part of the property, we are happy to just, as part of that, yes, the building will have to come down. And that is the creative solution that the city has partnered with Woodward in doing so. And I believe as of this morning's council meeting, it is officially approved. There was something on the agenda at the council meeting this morning, I think finalizing some of the funding that the city will provide. But as far as the building coming down, we did have the wonderful meeting that Woodward did provide for the neighborhood on this past Tuesday and did, you know, sort of give us a calendar of events, if you will, of how the building will be coming down. And, you know, in part, they provided sort of a seven-step process. First, they do have some asbestos remaining and that they do have some abatement to take care of before actual demolition will commence. And it will be a very slow demolition and a very deliberate demolition where they're going to start from the Conti Street side of the building. They're going to take down the little power plant building first. And then they're going to just sort of, they also, I believe, the building is actually still connected to the St. Margaret's facility. So there mm-hmm. has to be a separation created there as well. So I think it's going to be little by little by little. I think they estimated abatement to be anywhere from 2 weeks to up to a month, and then we'll probably start seeing some real progress. So it's exciting for Mid-City because we are one of the most beautiful areas of the city. We have these beautiful neutral grounds on Canal Street and Norman Francis, and we have just beautiful oak trees everywhere. We really are a lovely area of the city that, you know, we're very proud to live in. So yeah. As far as getting this building down after 20 years, we cannot, we're very happy. We're very, very happy. We're happy to support Woodward in their efforts. And while they don't know what's planned next, aside from this retention tank that they, you know, this water retention that they plan to build, you know, there are no specific plans just yet. And so we hope, you know, we hope whatever they do build is not just necessarily beneficial for our neighborhood, but, you know, also beneficial for the city as a whole. You know, we are centrally located. That's why we're Mid-City. We're the heart of the city. And it's a great place to live. It's why I've
It's
lived
one
here.
Of the most convenient neighborhoods in the entire city, right? I mean, you can get anywhere from
really
there
is.
Quick.
Yes, that is. That is one of the really the big secrets. It's out now. No, it's actually why I live here. I mean, I'm born and raised in New Orleans, but, we've lived in this neighborhood for nearly 30 years. So it's very lovely. But as far as the building coming down, we are, I will say, you know, Mercy is near and dear to my heart because I'm born there. I had family who worked there on staff for many years. And the Sisters of Mercy, you know, they started something many, many years ago. And the Mid-City Neighborhood Organization is currently applying for an historic plaque to commemorate the Sisters of Mercy, because that building, believe it or not, has been around now, you know, since 1953. So, you know, granted, Hurricane Katrina destroyed that, and it's been that way now, you know, literally 20 years. And so we are hoping to commemorate that site, because at one time it was a vibrant, wonderful neighborhood hospital in our neighborhood. And so, you know, not many
truly
people
was.
Today... Yeah, not many people remember how wonderful that building was, and how wonderful the doctors, the nurses, the staff, just having that hospital in our neighborhood was such a comfort. And so now that it's going to be something different, and the skyline is going to be something very different, you know, that's, we don't know what's going there. So I think Woodward is proposing something along the lines of mixed-use development, you know, where there's businesses and, you know, some housing, restaurants, things of that nature. But it does have to make sense to them financially, is what we've been told. Additionally, they, you know, they're hoping to also provide, you know, on-site parking because, you know, we are a neighborhood. And so it's hard to find parking, you know. So, but the demolition's going to take, you know, a while. And I think people aren't going to, they're not going to understand that it's not an immediate implosion. It's not, it's literally going to be clawing away, clawing away, clawing away. So,
well, I'm told that that building is built like, incredible, you know, other than a flood, it could probably have withstood any hurricane, tornado, or otherwise.
It's funny you say that. Yes, it's unfortunate that this building could not be reused. We understand why it can't be reused, especially at this point. It's just been wallowing for so long. And it's, you know, I've been in the building recently, and so I understand it's very difficult to watch, to see it. It's a graffiti haven. It's an urban explorer's dream, if you will.
Yeah,
so,
unfortunately.
You know, unfortunately. And our hope, you know, our hope is that the site can be, you know, well maintained during the demolition, that people stay away, that people let this job happen, you know, and let it get done, even though it is going to take multiple months. So,
Michelle, I wanted to ask from your perspective, because you mentioned this a couple of times, this building down and out as a result of Katrina floodwaters, from a neighborhood perspective, lessons learned.
Oh, there's a lot of lessons to be learned here. Accountability by both the city leaders and the owners. I don't know how else to say it. You shouldn't be allowed to buy a giant building and just let it sit while you wait for historic tax credits to be approved or to be found. That the ability for an owner to secure a building long term, you know, you shouldn't be allowed to mothball something this size. That there should be laws in place that if you can't redevelop something after, let's just give it an idea, a 2-year period, you know, to find the necessarily dollars to do what you'd like to do, then move on. And, you know, but still, you know, the city has had to step in, and we don't feel that this project would have happened if the city had not helped. That's all I'm going to say, is that at some point the public-private partnership did have to take place. And, you know, while public money is being used, albeit for infrastructure, I still think that, you know, property owners, private property owners, really do need to be held accountable. You know, we hold residential homeowners accountable, we hope, you know, for things that are, you know, high grass.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi, I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Things of that nature.
And that really goes back to the original owners of the building at the time of the storm, right? I mean,
I think that tenant, yeah. They basically,
you know, they were the ones that walked away and abandoned the building.
Correct. That is correct. And there were subsequent owners who also put covenants in place that Mercy could not be reopened as a hospital. There are also owners, the Mid-City Neighborhood Organization actually did fight, I think it was Victory Development at the time. They wanted to put a Target and a Macy's on that site. And so the neighborhood organization did fight that during that time. We didn't want giant big box, and we still hope that big box is not on the table. So agreed that ownership, you know, is responsibility. And I don't think that we have held these owners. You know, I know Joe Yeager is no longer on this earth, but I do know that, you know, he also has held a lot of these big properties at one time. So I think that, you know, ownership responsibility and also ownership, you know, Woodward has actually come to the table for our organization. In the end, they have been, I would say, mostly upfront with what's going on, and whether we like the answer to that or not, they still at least came to the table, provided information and updates, and have helped our organization, you know, get information out to our neighborhood. And so, you know, we're trying, I think in the end, this current owner, I hope, is going to do what they say they plan to do. So,
yeah.
And I hope the city holds them accountable once the building comes down. You know, okay.
Yeah, I applaud the city for working out a way, you know, to find, and if it's stormwater retention, that's actually a requirement now on a lot of these projects. I had no idea that the basement of this facility could hold, what is it, 5 million or 4 million?
They're saying 4 million gallons.
4 million gallons of stormwater.
But that is real or not real. I think what they noted at the meeting on Tuesday is that once the demolition is complete and the debris is all removed, there is still a topographical survey that will be done to see.
Right.
I think there's some still unknowns there that, you know, the intention is
sure
there. So let's hope that does come to fruition.
No, absolutely. And, you know, and this is a good example of a strong neighborhood association coming together and protecting their interests, right?
Of course. We want our neighborhood to continue to thrive and do wonderful things. And, you know, we want people to live in our neighborhood, enjoy our neighborhood. You know, our proximity to the downtown area, you know, with streetcar access and just everything is so close and nearby and walkable. And so, no, we want to keep our neighborhood in that way. And, you know, access to the bayou, access to just groceries. And we're very fortunate to live where we live, even access to City Park. The park is very close. So the interstate is close. So it's there are schools. There are, you know, Warren Easton has been a huge supporter of our neighborhood. So we're very, very blessed. And we hope that once this gets started, once it gets off the ground, that I think people will be surprised. You know, it's going to be a little shocking to lose that skyline, that giant building in the middle of our neighborhood, you know, to have that space open again. So we'll see. I mean, it's been, yeah. They built that building, I think it's 1953 is when the Sisters of Mercy opened with their nursing school and the original hospital before the addition of the chapel and the whole porte-cochere on the front end of the building. So I'm sorry for the loss of the structure. I really am. It's you know, hits your heart, but
right.
Oh, well, you know what?
Well,
it's time to move forward.
Yeah, the time has come. It's time to move forward. The sense I have, and I'm curious if you have the same sense, this administration, meaning the Moreno administration with the new council, they have their eye on the ball. And that's the sense that I have thus far. They seem to really be have a higher attention to details, and let's just put it that way, than the previous administration, which I think is a good thing.
Oh, I do think it's a good thing. At this point, I mean, Katrina is 20 years ago. It's time for people to say, let's move forward. You know, we don't have to live in the past. It's time for us to move forward. And I do think that this administration, whether or not, I think what I give this administration a lot of credit for is the creativity that is happening behind the scenes, where they can find ways to find money, to find grants, to find available money, to make money, move our city forward in a different direction. I don't necessarily believe from an economic standpoint that this project is going to be, it's going to take a long time for viability to really see that viability, at least from this project. But, you know, I think, you know, Mayor Moreno is doing her best. And I appreciate her communication. I appreciate how open she is with the public, and she's on social media, you know, giving updates and things of that nature. But I applaud the city for those efforts, and I pray that we continue to move forward. That's what our goal is, as you know, from the Mid-City Neighborhood Organization standpoint. And you know, we also just. Quick shout out to our neighborhood is we're getting a new sculpture, you know, at Canal Street and South Norman C. Francis through MCNO did a proposal in conjunction with Arts New Orleans, and we were approved. And so we're going to finally get, you know, something new that's, you know, not been there for 10 years. So we're very excited about that. That process should be up and coming at the end of this month. So, you know, There's all reasons to be positive right now.
Absolutely. So. Sounds like y'all got a couple of wins under your belt, and that's always a good thing. And these are must-haves. These things have to be done. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes we wish it didn't have to be this way, but I think you guys have waited enough, you know, and it's time to, as you said, move on, get it done.
Agreed. And you're so kind to have us on this morning to give us a shout out.
Yep. Congratulations to y'all. I know it's been a long time, and I know you still got a long road to hoe, and there will be some disruption in the neighborhood as a result of tearing that building down. That's just the necessary evil of the job that needs to be done. But at some point in time, there will be something there that we can all brag about for sure. Michelle Schlafly, Secretary of the Mid-City Neighborhood Association Board, thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate it, and have a great weekend.
You too, Neil. Thank you for your time. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back, we'll visit with Brandon Buck, Research Fellow in Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato. We'll talk about this on-again, off-again conflict in the Middle East. Stay with us.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.